Ken, I learned early in life how to make a quick impression. I've got four brothers, and my dad was a pastor, and I was one of those PK preacher kids. I know all about that. We had an old gentleman that would come into church, and he would preach on Sunday nights lots of times. And he would preach for about 10 minutes on the love of God. We loved that man. My kind of preaching. And he'd always talk about this guy that he'd got into it with, and they'd fight. He said, I made up my mind I was going to kill him. And he said, I got saved. And he said, God put his love in my heart. And he said, I went straight to that man and hugged him and told him I loved him. And he'd shout, and he'd go sit down. And, you know, we're dying to get home to watch Bonanza. So we like that. I'm not going to say much about myself. There's not much to say. I'm a common man. I drive a common van. My dog don't have no pedigree. So that's who I am. But it's good to be here. I love Brother Ken. A preacher by the name of Bob Sanders introduced me to Ken. He was at camp meeting. I'm kind of one of those reserved. I don't come forward much to try to introduce myself. But he said, who's preaching your camp meeting? I said, some guy down in Georgia, Ken Bowman. He said, I know him. He said, you need to go introduce yourself to Ken. And I said, what for? See, I've been in this all my life. I knew men like Harold Siler, Billy Kelly, and William Canoy, and all those. But I'm glad that I made my way up and shook hands with Brother Ken, told him who I was, and started a friendship. And I love him dearly. And thank you for allowing him to come to our part of the world and preach to our people. As I drove through Atlanta, I told my wife, I said, I'll tell you something. That bunch in the mountains wouldn't hear nothing about God if I had to drive through Atlanta to get to them. So they'd be in trouble. This is the first time in 25 years I've left my church. I feel awkward. But at the same time, Brother Ken been after me, and I want to say it's an honor to be with you fine folk here today. But I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'll try to be short today. Just give you what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning's service. Boy, I like that when people stand before I even say stand. I need to get my people in tune with this crowd. Ephesians chapter number 3. Paul writes to this church at Ephesus. He's in prison. He has carried the gospel to this church at Ephesus, or to these people at Ephesus that had not heard nothing about the gospel or the love of God. Religion was centralized in Jerusalem. That was the hub of it. But the gospel began to spread from Jerusalem throughout the world. Aren't you glad? And Paul writes to these early Christians to let them know that they have something, that they're special. He says, for this cause, verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. This is it right here. I'm going to be preaching on this. What is the breadth and the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll stop our reading right there, and you can be seated. I had about 3 pages today, and I threw 2 of them away, so we'll deal with the last one. Paul says, and you, in verse number 1 of chapter 2, he says, and you hath he quickened. I'm interested in the you this morning, somewhat. And you hath he quickened. That means made alive. And you hath he quickened. It tells of the present state of these early Christians. He said, and you hath he quickened. And then he gives their past, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. That is their past. But now in the present, he says, and you hath he quickened. You hath he made alive. And I begin to wonder about this you, who he's talking about, who he's talking to. And I know that he is personally speaking to this church at Ephesus. But also, generally speaking, this also comes down to he's speaking to you. We can include ourselves in what he is saying to you. He is speaking to us. And I thought about how that the goodness and the mercy of the Lord has reached to our part of the world. Now, I want to say there were only 2 nationalities. Basically, at this time, you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. I'm glad to report to you this morning, it's not about black and white, brown or red. It's about the love of God that goes beyond the boundaries. But during this time, it was like the Jews had a monopoly on Christianity, on religion, and we were on the outside looking in. Just wondering as little boys would sit around the temple and looking to see all the Jews coming in with their lambs, coming into the place of worship, and seeing all the excitement that was generated around this temple worship. But they wasn't allowed to go in. So Paul writes about a wall. It's called a middle wall of partition. And what Jesus done at Calvary, he broke down that middle wall of partition. And he's letting us know that it's not Gentile nor Jew, but it's Jesus. It's the love of God that has been extended unto you and to me. And so he reveals unto them their past. He says that at that time you were without Christ. That's a bad place. If you're here this morning like that, don't leave like that. He says you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But in verse 13, he says, he uses that conjunction word, but. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Isn't it good to be part of the family of God? And so he gives to these people their past condition. Then he gives to them their present condition. He says in verse 4, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in together in heavenly places. When he's saying us, always look at your Bible in color. When he's saying us, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jew and Gentile. Made us sit together in heavenly places. And so we see the present. And so in chapter number 3, we look here in verse 1 down through verse 13. He relates to this church that the church was a mystery down through the Old Testament economy. It was a mystery. Nobody knew anything about the church. It was not revealed unto people. But now he reveals in chapter number 3 the mystery of the church. And I want to say this morning that I'm glad to be part of the church of the living God. It was a mystery. I still think it's somewhat of a mystery because one of these days we're pulling out. And they're going to wonder where we're going. They're not going to, I don't believe they're going to have a clue. I don't think they'll be able to figure out, but God's going to take us home. The church has been a mystery. But now God did not have to do what He did. So He could carry on this work just with His Jewish nation. God chose them. He said, I have loved thee because I have loved thee. No reason why. He just said, I've loved you. Boy, that's the kind of love that we need. Not because what someone can do for us or what someone can give to us. He said to the Jews, He said, I've loved you. He said, you were the smallest of all nations, but He said, I've loved thee because I've loved thee. I think that's probably my wife could say that. It's not because of my looks or my wealth. I've loved thee because I've loved thee. That's a great kind of love. But what I want to really look at this morning here is in verse number 18. He said that you may, that Christ may dwell in your hearts in verse 17 by faith that ye've been rooted and grounded in love. I want to say, without the love of God, there are a lot of folks will tell you they're saved, but they hate everybody. They don't like nobody. But I see a red flag when I see a man that's always against everybody. When a man don't love his fellow man, he can't love God whom he's not seen. But here what I want to look at just for a minute. He said that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of the love of God. And so I want to look, first of all, at the depth of the breadth of the love of God. What He's wanting us to see is how wide it is, how far that it expands. And He says in His Word in the book of Isaiah, He says, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth. Say amen right there. All the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. So what I see in the breadth or the width of the love of God is that it reaches from sea to shining sea. It's not just limited in a little place called Jerusalem. But He's wanting these Gentiles to know that the love of God spreads from the Jewish nation all the way to every nation, every kindred and every tongue. Thank God for the width of His love. If you're in North Carolina, if you go to the far western point, there's a little old place, a little county called, in that part, called Murphy, a little town called Murphy. That is the most western part of North Carolina. And if you travel east, you'll come to a little town called Manio. We often use that phrase, from Murphy to Manio. And I'm glad that the love of God stretched from Murphy to Manio. Not only from there, but it stretched from Jerusalem to Asia. It come all the way down to the far corners of the world. And it reached the places where our fathers were at, in England and Ireland and all these places, Germany, and found its way into a little town called Bowdoin, Georgia. That's the breadth of it. I'm glad to report to you that it came to where I was at. As a little 7-year-old boy, 1964, sitting on the third seat of the church pew, I experienced the love of God for myself personally. I was sitting there, and I'll never forget, I'd went to the altar 2 or 3 times, Brother Kim, but I couldn't get saved. I wanted to, but I just couldn't get it. But I was standing there that evening, an old preacher by the name of Buren Hastings. Weighed about right at 400 pounds. I remember going out to eat, and he ordered his meal. He told the young girl, he said, "I want a yard of hot dog." She said, "A yard of hot dog?" He said, "That's 3-foot-long hot dog." But he stood there that evening, and he preached. I don't know nothing that man said, but I do know that the love of God penetrated my heart that night on that third seat. I was standing there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Go to the altar." And I said, "Lord, if you'll send somebody to me." Don't never kick anybody going to somebody. You make sure God's in it. You with me? But I said, "Lord, if you'll just send somebody to me, I'll go." My dad was sitting on the first seat, and he turned around. He was a big man, and he took and opened up that big hand. And I took and put my little hand in his big hand. I didn't have to say nothing when I come to the altar. It happened right there. I exercised faith in Christ. God saved my soul. What is the breadth of it? Down a little old road called the church where I pastor. It's called Double Island Baptist Church, and the road that goes down by it is Dobag Creek. Don't know how it got that name. But aren't you glad wherever you were at that the breadth, the width of the love of God came to your place? And it's still going today. Aren't you thankful? And He has given us opportunity to have part in this, that we can spread the gospel throughout the entire world. That's the breadth of it. And then I want to look secondly at the length of it. How long has God loved? Well, I want to say something about Him. God is love. There was no beginning for the love of God. And can I say there's no ending to the love of God? What is the length of it? It's from everlasting to everlasting. God's always love. God always will love. That's who He is. He says to Jeremiah, "The Lord hath appeared to me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." That means, Jeremiah, there wasn't a day that my love started for you. He knew Jeremiah before he's ever formed in the womb. And aren't you glad this morning that God loved us before we ever existed? The love of God, the length of it is from eternity past to eternity present. That means forever and forever. The length of it goes on and on and on. God commendeth His love toward us, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love had no beginning of days, and it has no ending of days. We call that the agape love. That is a love without purpose. I don't know why that He did or why that He does, but aren't you thankful? And listen, you don't have to be perfect for God to love you. You don't have... Listen, we ought to try our best to walk in a holy walk and live for God. But here's the deal about God. He's not like us. I love Brother Ken. I love him. But there could be something come between us, Brother Ken, and that love could dwindle. But I don't care what you do or where you go. The psalmist said, "Behold, if I make my bed in hell, thy turn." That's the length of it. It goes forever and forever and forever. Then thirdly, let me say, I want to look at the depth of the love of God. How deep is it? How deep does it go? And the psalmist said this about the depth of the love of God. He said, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings." What are you saying about the love of God? Well, when I couldn't reach up to Him, He reached down to me. My Savior, in love, reached down to where I was at. And I want to say we were all in the same place. You say, "Well, you don't know what I've done." I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter. It takes the same blood and the same grace to save the vilest of sinners. God reached way down for you. 7-year-old preacher's son. God had to reach way down and lifted me up. The depths of the love of God goes deeper than man can say. Years ago, when the sailors were out, I was talking to this gentleman right here, and I heard him say fishing. And it catches my ear, fishing. Does anybody get that? Fishing. I love to fish. And we're talking about the electronics and all that, the gimmicks that they've got now. They've got what's called fish finders. Now, when you're 64-year-old, what you do with a fish finder is you trip over it and you fall on a boat. Am I right, Renee? But my son, he's into competition fishing, and so he bought him a new boat and got all that stuff off. I was tickled to death. But my grandson, he started fishing, and he put another one of those on my boat. I'm not going to learn how to use it. But back in those days, whenever they would go out into the uncharted waters in the ocean, they didn't have nothing to tell them how deep it was, or what the depth was. So what they would do, they had a sounding cord that they would drop down. And they'd begin to drop that down. The old captain would give the command. He said, drop down the sounding line. See if we can locate the bottom. Those old sailors would begin to drop down that line, and you'd hear the reply come back to the captain. Captain, sir, no bottom here. The captain would give the command again. Well, add another sounding line and go down deeper. They would add that line and they'd go on down, and the reply would come back. No bottom here, captain. And he would give the command again to let down that sounding line. And they'd let it down, and then the reply was this to the captain. They would say, no bottom here. Deeper than this, captain. And I want to say the depths of the love of God. I cannot tell you how deep it goes. The only thing I can tell you about the love of God, how deep that it is. It's gone deeper than the stain has gone. My son sings a song I get into. It's my favorite song. I said, if I die, I want you to sing this song. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still lives upon the throne. And I know that His blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Thank God for salvation that reaches deeper than the stain has gone. What is the depths of it? It's deeper than I can tell you this morning. And then lastly, I want to tell you about the height of it. You that study your Bibles and that love God, surely you know what the height of God's love is already, without me telling you. In John 4:10, it says, John says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Now that's love. You know who you are. I know who I am. And when I look in that mirror, I know exactly. Now, I want you to know something. You may put a preacher, you ought to respect your pastor and a preacher. You ought to reverence him. But when your preacher goes to that mirror, you know what he sees? The same thing you see when you look in a mirror. You see someone that doesn't deserve the goodness of God. I see someone that doesn't deserve the least of His favor. That's what I see. And I believe for a man, in order for a man to get saved, he's got to get to that point in his life. He's got to realize I'm nothing and Jesus is everything. That's what I see when I look. I don't see a preacher. I don't see a pastor. I don't see a self-righteous, arrogant somebody. What I see is somebody that God's love reached deeper than the stain had gone. I see somebody that the love of God reached down when nobody else would have me. I'm glad God wanted me. growing up, as I got older, I played ball, I played football, done it all. Now, you look at me this morning, you young ladies, I used to have hair and teeth. Well, look at old people. I was talking to the guy that played the bass guitar. You know, his hair is gone right here, and some of you say he's bald. We cut it like that. We like to look. Say amen right there. We like to look. But I remember those days when we'd stand at recess and they'd say, I want Joe to be on my team. I want Bill to be on my team. And I want so-and-so to be on my team. And I'd stand in there, boy, I hope somebody picks me. And I, after a while, they'd say, you get him. But I want to tell you, when I was 7 years old, God came. And he picked me and he chose me to be part of the family of God. And he called me later on. I hate to admit to you this morning, I had some rough days. I lived a rough life in my teenage years. And Brother Ken, I don't know why, when he come to me, I said, Lord, there's a lot of people done better than I have. And you could pick somebody else, but I'm glad this morning that he picked me to stand and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deeper than the stain has gone. But the height of it, what is the height of it? You can look at it any way you want to. But the height of it and the pinnacle of it is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It wasn't just me, the whole world. Some may say, I've been too mean. I've been too rough. But I don't tell you at Calvary, God had you on His mind. God had you on His mind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. That is the height of God's love. Now let's look at it. 2,000 years ago, how many of you got a son? I see your hand. How many of you got a son? Raise it high and wave at me. I like them boys, don't we? Sure. I like mine. Yeah. Old Nick, old Jake. I've got grandsons. I love them boys. Yes, about 2 weeks ago, my grandson Connor, I slept with him for 14 years. Me and him slept in the same bed for 14 years. He was insecure. My wife slept with Kale. When Connor got 15, he felt like he's too big to sleep with Grandpa. Boy, it was a sad day. And I was really tore up. So he had his own bedroom and he went to it. And the next night, you know what I had? Kale. So I slept with him. I don't know how many years I slept with Kale. But I stood there about 2 weeks ago and I performed the ceremony. My grandson Connor got married. I was fine. I mean, I was doing great. And the first paragraph that I read, that, you know, that God instituted marriage, and there was a knot coming in my throat as big as my fist. I didn't want to cry in front of those people. This is a wedding. This is a happy occasion. But I looked at that boy and see what he went through. And I think about the times that he and I have coon hunted, frog gigged, turkey hunted, done all that stuff. We done it all. He's the one that I bought him a over and under shotgun, Brother Ken, and he shot trout. Competition. They won the state competition. And I stood there and all of a sudden I seen that boy leaving. That knock got that big and I tried to grin. You ever tried to fake it? I've done that preaching time or two. It don't work too good. You'll wind up busting, you know. I finally got it done and sent him on his way. What's the height of God's love? 2,000 years ago, God looked down on a group of people that had no hope, without God, without hope in this world. What did he do? So he just had one son. He gave his only begotten son. That's the height of God's love. It's got to be that he gave his only begotten son. Who did he give it for? For you and me. That's the height of it. I was reading a story about a fire that took place in the bush over in Africa. Just wiped out a village. And the village men came and the tribesmen came and they're assessing all the damage. And they looked under an old wooden plank and there sat an old hen. She wasn't moving. And they went over there to that hen to pick her up to see what was going on, and she was dead. She had expired. And when they lifted her up, little chickens started running everywhere. I want to say 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? What is the height of it? That God gave His only begotten Son that you and I could have life. What a God. What a God. One of the great preachers, Brother D.L. Moody, I know you've heard about him. He had a young man by the name of Morehouse that came to him and he said, "Brother Moody, I'd love to preach in your church." And he said, "Okay, son. Someday I'll let you preach in my church," thinking that probably never see him again. And they said, about 2 years later, on one Sunday morning, in walked Morehouse. He said, "Brother Moody, I'm here to preach in your church." I've never asked a man to preach in his church. And I figure if God wants me to, He'll figure it out. But he said, "I'm here to preach in your church." And Moody told his men, he said, "Well, I don't expect too much to happen this morning, and we'll let him preach and just get him out of the way. It'll be all right." They said old Morehouse stood up on that Sunday morning and preached on the love of God. He preached out of John 3:16. And he said there was such a response to it that he said, "Son, would you come back tomorrow night and preach again?" He came back on Monday night and he preached on the love of God. John 3:16. Every night. He came Friday night and he said, "I have a somewhat different sermon tonight. It's special." He said, "I'm going to preach on the height of the love of God." And they was looking for another text and he said, "For God so loved the world." You can't get no higher than that. You can't get no higher that God loved you enough to send His Son to Calvary to pay your sin debt. We deal a lot, I don't know if y'all deal with that in the mountains, we deal a lot with people that says you have to work out your salvation. I'm sorry, it can't be done. There's not but one way to gain eternal salvation. How is that? In trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing upon Him. Solomon was one of the wisest men other than the Lord Jesus Christ you'll ever read about, because he asked for wisdom. You remember that? Yes. He asked for wisdom. Here's what he says about love. He says, "Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned." You just can't. They just something about love. There's an old fella. His wife was a great Christian. She went to church every time the door was open. And this man was bad to beat on his wife. And they came and got the preacher one day and said, "You need to run down to the hospital." He said, "You know Miss So-and-so, her husband has almost beat her to the point of death." He said, "I got down there and looked at that lady and I saw what I saw." He said, "My anger boiled up." He said, "I got really upset." And he said, I looked at her. He said, why don't you just leave him? She said, but sir, several years ago, she said, I took an oath for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. She said, I can't go back on my oath. I think as God sent His Son to Calvary for you and me, how He must have thought. Oh, my. If He had not have done that, you and I would not be here today. In closing, there's an old song that comes to my heart. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I'm not a singer. There was a gentleman that wrote this song. F.M. Lehman, I believe, is his name. He wrote this old song. I don't know if y'all sing it, The Love of God. Page 220 in your hymnal. He had a great business. Had a big business. And he lost everything he had. And he found himself working down in the orange groves down in Florida. Picking oranges. He could have got mad at God. Got upset with God. But you know what he did? He wrote one of the greatest hymns ever written. I want to read this to you and then I'm done. He explains the love of God. He said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and it reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned him from his sin. Thank God for the pardon that we have received through Him. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forever endure the saints and angels' song. Verse number 2 says, when hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. The last verse he says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to rot the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, how strong. I'm glad that the love of God was not centralized in Jerusalem. But we see the width of it, the breadth of it. It came to where you was at. You say, you think God knows where I was at? God knows the number of the hairs on your head. Aren't you thankful that God came to, if you're from Georgia or Alabama or North Carolina, that some old preacher boy God sent in your direction and preached to you the love of God that expands the universe. He was rich in all of these things. But I'm glad that an old song that we sing at church, of all the love that I look at and all I think about, how he went to Alabama and how he went to Bowden, Georgia and Double Island and all these places. But we sing an old song, I'm glad Jesus loved even me. He didn't have to, but I'm glad he did. God is love. Brother Ken.